You're tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Now your hosts, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, Sam Dunham, and Josh Harrison. Hey everybody, welcome to Nerd Overload, your favorite pop and geek culture show where two's company and three's a crowd. I'm Sam.
And I'm Josh.
We have a great show for you this week. Thank you all for tuning in. We have a bunch of news to go over, but first let's get into some things we've been checking out. And Josh, I hope you have a ton of things you've checked out. Awesome. That's exactly what I wanted to hear.
Well, let's see here. I watched Kong Skull Island.
Okay.
I really, really liked it.
I've heard good things about it.
It's a really good movie.
Mm.
Like, not even taking, like, King Kong into, like, account. It's just a good movie. Like, it's a good action movie. It started off, like, a little slow.
Most Kong movies do.
Well, yeah, for, like, 2 seconds. But then as soon as, like, it hits, it's, like, boom.
Okay.
And there's so many good actors in it.
See, that's the one with Sam Jackson and...
Samuel Jackson, John Goodman, Tom Hiddleston.
Hiddleston, yeah. Is it set in modern day?
Or
no.
It's set in the 70s.
Okay. Interesting.
Like, right at the, around the end of Vietnam.
Oh, okay. All right.
Samuel Jackson is in the army, and, like, Nixon's, like, pulling people out of, like, Vietnam and stuff.
Okay.
And his platoon's mission or whatever is, like, this, to be the military escort for a scientific expedition to a difficult-to-get-to island.
Okay.
And John Goodman works for a group called Monarch, but not that Monarch.
The Monarch!
I always need a good Venture Brothers reference.
Absolutely, anyway.
But it's kind of like he kind of pulls like the wool over a little bit, and it's kind of more of a, I'm proving that giant monsters exist kind of thing.
Okay. Now, this is set in the same universe as
the newest American Godzilla
film. Yeah.
Yes.
Because this King Kong is going to fight that Godzilla at some point. There's going to be a crossover.
There's actually a pretty sweet all the way to the end of the credit scene.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
Where they make all the connections.
Very good. Very cool.
But the movie's really good. The action's really good. The special effects, everything just looks really, really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, John C. Reilly's in it.
Oh, excellent.
As a World War II soldier who's been stranded on the island since World War II.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. Okay, so is he... old age makeup, or is it like time doesn't
work? No, he looks older. He's in the beginning of the
movie. I guess 70s, it wouldn't be that far.
30 something years.
Yeah. Okay. And yeah, that makes sense. All right.
Yeah. Like it shows the very beginning of the movie, an American pilot and a Japanese pilot mm-hmm. crash on the island, and they're kind of like fighting it out, like on a beach or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
When you get like your first glimpse of Kong.
Cool. Yeah.
And so he plays the older version of the American pilot.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
He's kind of crazy.
Yeah. Well, like, John C. Reilly.
I don't think people give John C. Reilly like enough like credit.
No, he's a very competent actor.
Like a lot of times, you mostly see him just kind of in goofy roles,
mm-hmm.
either with like Will Ferrell or like Robot Chicken stuff.
Yeah.
Not Robot Chicken. The Adult Swimmy stuff.
Yeah.
But
he's a very competent actor. He was in Chicago.
The musical where
he played a very, like, serious, like, really melancholic kind of role
mm-hmm.
in that. And, yeah, that was actually my first introduction to John C. Reilly. So when he would pop up in more comedic stuff, I would go, really? Him? But now it's kind of a given.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he has, like, these flashes where he's serious and he's excited to see people. But then he also has, like, these other moments where even though he's not really been alone on the island.
Yeah.
He hasn't been around, like, his own people. But he has, like, these flashes where he's almost got, like, isolation syndrome.
Okay, sure.
Where you, like, been alone for so long, you're kind of crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of like an I Am Legend or a Castaway kind of stuff.
Right.
man. There's, like, some points where he's laughing and stuff with people and, like, slapping all these soldiers on the back and whatnot for seeing him and stuff. And he's like, we're all going to die.
No, that's cool.
But it's a really good movie. Mm-hmm. You could definitely see some of the, what do you want to call it, influences from the other Godzilla film.
Oh, okay.
Like, on some of the more monstery fights.
Gotcha.
There's kind of some similar cinematography style
mm-hmm.
kind of things. It's just a good movie.
Good.
It's a really good. It's a really good movie. You end up really disliking Samuel L. Jackson.
Sure.
In the movie.
Okay.
But I really enjoy it, and I can't wait for the next installment within this greater kaiju monster universe.
Oh yeah, and it's going to be Godzilla 2, and from what I understand, they're introducing Mothra and Rodan and Ghidra all in that one.
Man, that's a lot of stuff.
Basically, Monster Island. Yeah, and that's I'm in.
I'm cool. I'm wondering if they're still going to say that Ghidra's from space though.
Maybe that would be cool.
Mm-hmm. But that movie's so good. I really I was hesitant about it. I kept hearing good things about it, and then I just kind of went on the whim and I rented it, and I was like, "Oh man, I love this movie!" And then I went out and bought it.
Yeah, cool, very cool. Well, let's see. One of the things I checked out, I can't talk about it. I haven't seen enough of it to really talk about it, but I watched the first 10 minutes or so of the Tick TV series that's on Amazon.
I've heard it's kind of dark, but I've also heard it's kind of funny.
It's from what I've seen, it's very funny, and it does kind of take a darker slant in every aspect except the Tick,
which
is fine. The Tick sticks out like a sore thumb, really hard from what I've seen. But beyond that, it's I don't know. It seems very good. I like the cast quite a bit. I think Peter Serafinowicz nails the Tick from what I've seen. I don't know. Again, I can't really get into it.
How do you feel comparing it to say the Warburton Tick? Are they just too different?
The Warburton Tick was very cartoony.
Yeah, live action rendition of the Tick cartoon.
Yeah, and it was very. Each episode was standalone.
Mm-hmm.
There was no overarching plot from episode to episode. Where this definitely has a
there's a story.
There is a story that carries along all six episodes of the series, and it's only six episodes. So I'm going to finish it up this weekend. Easy. But yeah, it's a little more in line with how the Marvel Netflix series are going and the serialized kind of shows.
Mm.
So you can't jump in on episode 3 and know what's going on.
Yeah.
Really.
Okay.
But again, it's only six episodes
and
they're half hour, 45 minutes. So it's not that much. I still keep thinking that the guy who plays Arthur is Leonard from Big Bang Theory, and I think they did that for a reason. I think they purposely made him look and cast a guy that looks just like
Who was on Roseanne?
I like it from what I've seen. I haven't seen much, but I'm an easy Tick mark.
So true.
This is
true.
It would have to be something really, really out of left field for me to not enjoy it. Let's be honest.
Do any of the kind of Tickish catchphrases make it in?
Not that I've seen. That's not to say that they won't.
Mm. He's not running around yelling spoon.
That was a cartoon. That was wholly built from the cartoon.
Okay.
No, he didn't really have anything like that.
Does he have the super heroic cheesy monologue-y kind of stuff?
Yeah. From what I've seen, yes. Yeah.
Evil's a foot fungus and I'm the cream or something
stuff. Very in the same kind of vein.
Okay.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay.
There is, and I've only seen trailers little snippets of this, but they do kind of reference back to the Warburton a little bit. There is a almost fight scene between the Tick and this guy that has just a bunch of swords and hatchets and stuff. And he's voiced by Warburton.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't think he's in the suit, but I think
they pulled his voice. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a take on the Tick fighting a very Punisher-esque style
character.
Punisher or Deathstroke from Arrow or whatever.
Mm.
That style of kind of super edge kind of character.
Edgelord guy.
Yeah, yeah. But
Man, being a knife guy and if his name was Edgelord.
That would be kind of great. Yeah. But no, I'll have a full review of it next week because I'm definitely going to knock it out this weekend. But from what I've seen, it's really enjoyable. If you have Amazon, if you have Prime, then you'll have the Amazon TV or Amazon Movies service that everyone forgets to use. So you might as well use it for
this. Keep thinking about signing up for it, but it's that $100 drop for the year.
I pay $10 a month for it.
Oh, you can do that?
I got in on a special deal.
Oh,
so. Yeah, I just pay $10 a month. I mean, I end up paying more for the year, but it's a little easier to swallow than $100
all
in
once.
One chunk. Yeah,
oh, man, that's the one thing that kind of keeps me away from doing it. Is if they had a monthly service fee, I'd probably be all over it.
Yeah, yeah. So the other thing I checked out, and I talked about this 2 weeks ago and kind of gave it a lukewarm review, was the 3DS game Miitopia.
Mm-hmm. You almost said Miitomo.
Yeah, that sucks. Miitomo sucks. But Miitopia, last time I talked about it, and I'm not going to go into it again this time because it's the same concept.
Yeah, I remember you said charming but not worth the full price.
I rescind the not worth the full price portion of that review. It's still like baby's first RPG. It's kind of light in that area, but the story and the world that it builds is much larger than I had anticipated. I was really kind of anticipating about 15 to 20 hours worth of gameplay, and when you beat the final boss, it unlocks the second half of the game.
Oh.
Yeah, like there's four other levels, like lands to traverse to fight an even bigger final boss, and then after that it unlocks two more giant
Jeez.
Yeah.
But wait, there's more.
Basically, yeah. And it also has an achievement system in it. There are like 250-260-ish like achievements to get.
I hate that. I hate it when like I'm playing a game. I'm like, yeah, I'm doing great, I'm having fun. Oh, you're putting a collector mentality in this.
There is, and the weapon and armor system has a collectability, is part of the collection kind of mentality. Same thing with you get, it's hard to explain, but after every level, you get a chance to eat, your character eats food, and it bumps up one of their stats, and you get the different foods from the different monsters, and there's three tiers to each food for each monster type, and one of the achievements is you've collected every type of food in the game, which is difficult.
Is the achievement called Flavor Town?
It should be. Yeah. But it's the game's charming. It's the dialogue's funny enough, although at some points it starts kind of getting repetitive a little bit.
Well, it happens with RPGs.
Yeah, and the battle system is super light to the point where you can just kind of set it on auto mode and hold down the fast forward button. And kind of when you get kind of bored with it, you just kind of blow through a couple of levels. But there is one of the achievements is you've traversed every path on every level in the game, which means a lot of them you have to go back and play the same level like two or three times because the main screen's like an auto runner. And then at some points you have to choose like left or right. But to get the achievement, you have to choose both left and then go back and do the same thing and choose right. I mean, to do that, you end up at a level where there's never really a problem with boss fights.
Oh, yeah.
I think I've had a...
The grind.
Yeah, there's really no... It's a good way to mask grinding in a way of, you know, going through and just unlocking all the paths to all the routes.
And seeing all of the game.
Seeing all the game, yeah. So, in that sense, it's not that bad. But, yeah, it's worth the money. I think it's worth the money. I think I still wish the game would have come out earlier in the 3DS lifetime.
Yeah, it feels... I don't want to say it feels wasted on the 3DS.
Yeah.
But maybe it could have been a Switch title kind of thing.
It could have. I think it would have had to have been a little meatier to be put on the Switch. If this game would have been put on the Switch, it either would have needed a little more content or it would have gotten derided as just being fluff.
Yeah.
And like not good.
But it stands as a 3DS title.
It has legs as a 3DS title. A 3DS title, yeah. I don't know. I really don't have anything else to say about it.
But at least, hey, you're having fun with it.
I'm having fun with it, and I don't feel cheated.
That's good.
I spent money wisely on this one, I think. So,
unlike me in ARMS.
Yeah. ARMS.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Speaking of Switch.
Yes.
I got Mario Rabbids Kingdom Battle.
Okay, how is it?
It's actually kind of good.
Yeah.
Darn it, I don't want to admit it because I hate the rabbits so much.
Oh, they're awful. Yeah, those little screaming rabbit things.
Yeah, they are the video game equivalent of minions.
Yeah, they really are.
But the game's fun.
Yeah.
It's XCOM.
Yeah. See, I didn't play XCOM, so.
It is a tactical team. I don't want to say shooter, but you have, you know, like weapons. You have guns. Mario with a gun is weird.
Yeah.
It's like a tactical RPG, but instead of running up and slashing people, you shoot at them with the guns.
Yeah, and there's like a cover-based system kind of thing if you can hit.
Right.
I finally got to the point in the game after the first... I want to say it's almost like a breakpoint.
Mm-hmm.
It's not quite through the first world, but it allows you to go to your base.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And, you know, switch out your weapons and stuff, which is Peach's Castle, or actually right outside Peach's Castle. The game is, like, the world they build is weird. Because, like, the opening cinematic thing is not set in the Mushroom Kingdom.
Oh.
It's set in a kind of a, I don't want to say amateur tinkerer, because they make it sound like she is a very competent mechanical engineer.
Mm-hmm.
Slash mad scientist.
Okay.
Who is also a huge Nintendo fan. She has, like, Nintendo, like, toys and posters and stuff, like, all over her walls and whatnot.
Okay.
Well, she's part of the Rabbids part of the universe.
Okay, so she's from Rayman.
I don't know. If
technically.
Technically, yes.
Okay.
But the she walks out of the room, and then the Rabbids show up in their washing machine, time machine thing, and interacts weird with her equipment.
Mm.
And it sucks them into the Mushroom Kingdom. Well, it sucks the Rabbids themselves into the Mushroom Kingdom.
Oh, okay.
And some of her inventions, which includes this device that melds things together.
Mm.
And that's like the big overarching story is because of the influence of the Rabbids and this weird technology, it's ripping apart the Mushroom Kingdom.
Oh, okay.
It's weird. It's really hard to explain because it's so goofy. But the game itself is really good.
Okay. Well, that's good. That's good to hear.
And some of the rabbit characters aren't garbage, which makes me really hate it more.
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
Like, so far, you can switch out people on your team and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't found any new team members yet. Mm. So right now I've got Mario, Rabbid Peach.
Okay.
Who is basically just a rabbit in a Princess Peach cosplay.
Yeah, sure.
Who takes selfies all the time. She's always, like, pulling out her phone and, like, doing, like, selfie stuff. And Rabbid Luigi.
Okay.
And when you actually meet Princess Peach, like, the real Princess Peach,
mm-hmm.
Rabbid Peach gets all, like, indignant.
Oh, really?
Like, looks her up and down. It's like... And, like, the little robot companion you have with you that's mm-hmm. from the girl's lab.
Lab, yeah.
It's like... Sorry, Rabbid Peach really takes her cosplay really seriously.
Oh my gosh, that's funny.
But you can find all kinds of different guns,
mm-hmm.
But they're like specific for different characters.
Okay, sure.
Like I've got like ones for Mario, ones for Rabbid Luigi, and ones for Rabbid Peach.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
But the game's actually kind of fun. There's like a whole like team based system, like where like you use this character almost like Chroma Squad.
Okay, I was just going to say if it was kind of in that vein.
Yeah, like it allows you to do like team jumps and stuff.
Okay, cool.
Very Chroma Squad-esque
mm-hmm.
to get further distance and actually still have actions left to go do stuff.
Gotcha, okay.
And different guns you find will have bonus effects against certain enemies.
Sure. That's pretty standard with those
games, though. You collect coins and whatnot as you go
mm-hmm.
to fund more stuff, items to collect. Some of the humor is actually kind of decent, and it makes me angry. Like, I found this this rabid gun. Like, it's a gun that looks kind of like a rabid.
Mm-hmm.
And it said something like, much like Van Gogh, because everyone's got, like, a little write-up.
Mm-hmm.
And it said, much like Van Gogh, the rabbits choose to design things to reflect their own tortured something or whatever.
Oh, jeez.
I'm like, oh, I don't want to like that joke. No, but I'm not terribly deep into it. I'm probably, like, an hour and a half or so into it. I'll probably play it a little more today.
Oh, cool.
But I like it.
Yeah.
Good.
Are you going to get the DLC?
I already got it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it came with it. A code for it.
Oh, it did.
The pixel pack.
Ah,
The pixel weapons.
Yeah.
Which is what I'm using right now, and I feel like I'm cheating a little bit because they're a little more powerful than the stuff I'm finding right now.
Nice. It's always nice when the DLC gives you like a little extra...
edge.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure...
early levels.
Which I'm sure it'll level out.
Oh, sure. It will. They always do.
Because I'm now finding enemies that can do similar things to what I can do.
Okay.
Rather than me just stomping on guys that can only move and shoot.
Yeah.
But now I'm getting guys that can jump around and whatnot. And like the different... like, when you're moving around the world, there are like different things to find, like chests here and there.
Mm-hmm.
And different paths to find different things. There's a lot of like little collectible stuff you can find. But the battlefields themselves, when you find them, I'm now reaching to the point where it's not just flat land with cover in areas now. That's like, I can jump up here and shoot down to here, but I'm covered from up here. And it takes a lot of more thinking into it.
Gotcha. Okay, that's cool at least.
There's also a mode called, when you reach a battlefield, it's called a tactic table or something like that. I can't remember. Mm-hmm. But it allows you to like hold a button and see where your moves, like how far you can go from here or how far you can shoot from here kind of stuff.
Okay.
Kind of helps you plan a little bit. But yeah, I'm having fun with it. It makes me more excited for, like, you know, I need more Mario stuff in my life right now.
Okay, yeah.
Because so far all we've really had is Mario Kart.
Yeah. Well, Odyssey here in about a month and a half.
I know, and I'm like super excited.
I'm ready for it, yeah. That's probably going to be the last game I buy for the year, so it's going to have to be really super good.
Well, yeah, I'm hearing it's very open worldy kind of thing.
That's good.
I think it's the last big title, really.
It really is. Well, going into Christmas season, you know, I don't want to spend a whole bunch of money on myself.
I'm completely kinda, there with you.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's going to have to be really good.
So. I think I've gotten, like, every big launch title, every big Switch title so far.
For the most part, same here.
Like, I don't have Binding of Isaac.
But that's not really, that was a launch title, but it wasn't, I wouldn't call it, like,
a big title.
I wouldn't put it on the same level as, like, Breath of the Wild or Splatoon or something like that.
Yeah, but I've got all those. I got Breath of the Wild. I got Splatoon. I've got Mario Kart.
Arms.
Arms. Yeah, Arms. I'm just wondering if I should just trade the thing.
I'm sure it's eventually going to pick back up once people stop playing Splatoon. That game kind of got buried by Splatoon 2,
Yeah, well, it also, they didn't, like, really super support it either.
They're going to for the next couple years.
That's good. That's good. And I'm excited for that. So far right now with Splatoon is they've been like leaking out every like week or 2 weeks or so. Like we actually got our first new map.
Yeah.
I haven't played it yet, but it looks really cool. And they've had new guns every couple.
Pretty regularly. But that's, yeah. But that's how they did with Splatoon 1.
Mm-hmm.
They have those kind of drip feed you stuff for the year or two.
This umbrella shotgun that's kind of nuts.
Yeah, I've been looking at that.
It's weird. It's like a completely different weapon.
Yeah,
like the way it
and it has
works.
A shield. It kind of acts as kind of a shield a little bit as well.
If
right?
If you can sit there and hold it and it puts the umbrella out and you can like block shots and whatnot with it. But if you hold it for a certain amount of time, it launches the umbrella part.
Oh, okay.
In a straight line that. Paints the line as it goes.
Cool. Okay.
So you can use it as like a push.
Okay.
Because it'll help, like you run behind it, but you can still shoot even after the umbrella has been ejected.
Oh, right on. All right. Excellent.
Or you can follow the umbrella like swimming through the ink.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really cool weapon, but the range is super short.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, like I said, it's very much a shotgun.
Okay. Interesting.
Well, the video game equivalent to a shotgun.
Yeah. I'm interested in checking it out. Honestly, I haven't jumped into Splatoon in a while. So.
Yeah, there's a Splatfest this weekend, but I'm not going to be able to play it.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's right. Yeah,
yeah. It's the invisibility versus flight.
Oh, flight.
I know, right?
Yeah.
I feel like invisibility is a wasted power.
Yeah,
but I think also that might be like the adult in me. It's like I can fly somewhere. That means I don't have to drive.
I don't have to drive. Don't have to spend money on gas.
I know.
Yeah. If you're quick enough, you don't have to spend, you know, you can sell your car, not have car insurance, you know.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. It's the I'm a boring adult thing in me.
Teleportation is like the best power.
Yeah,
as far as I'm concerned.
Exactly.
Yeah. Just to instantly be wherever I need to be, 100%. Yeah.
Even though I'd probably still be late places.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I would miss 10 things. Sure. Oh, without a doubt. There's one last thing that I guess I could talk about a little bit. So there's, on Kickstarter, there's been a couple of these. There's a guy named Ben Salvey. He's been going through and he's been finding old, like, original film canisters of classic B-movies. He did one he did the Manos, the Hands of Fate restoration. Okay. His second project, finally, after, like, almost 3 years
Jeez.
In production, I finally received it. It's the Atomic Brain.
Ooh.
Also known as Monstrosity. He didn't know that it was called that until he was going through the old negative and found different, like,
title cards.
Scenes and different title cards for the same movie. So there's actually both versions of the film, like the Monstrosity cut and the Atomic Brain cut.
Mm.
Got that on Blu-ray as a back reward from Kickstarter after, like I said, like 3 years. I had forgotten I'd backed it, to be perfectly honest. But the cut is pristine. It's kind of crazy that
a movie that old can look so good.
A movie that old and this that cheesy can look better than like some movies today. Atomic Brain is basically this guy, this mad scientist is experimenting on with turning animals into people and also putting the brains of people into like the animal people bodies.
Mm.
It's just mad science.
So it's not like Island of Dr. Moreau.
Not really, because he's not really turning animals into people, but he's like putting cat brains into people and making like cat people hybrid and like gorilla people hybrid. It's weird. It's a weird old B sci-fi movie. It's a drive-in movie, but it's enjoyable. They did it on Mystery Science Theater years and years, years ago. But
which would be why you got it.
Well, sure, yeah, it's absolutely. But it's a really solid B sci-fi movie, I think. Definitely worth having the restoration, I would say. More so than Manos. As much as I love Manos and how cheesy bad that is, this one's worth the restoration, I think.
Okay.
It's really about it. It's bad. Go watch it. It's probably going to end up on Netflix or Hulu or something here in the next 6 months, because that's what happened with Manos.
Mm-hmm.
It got a short run on Netflix, I believe.
Mm.
So this one will probably have a similar kind of setup.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and take a break here, and when we get back, we'll talk about a little bit of news.
Prepare thyself. Hey, we're back. That was Zelda Melody by Lindsey Stirling.
Why did we play that, Josh?
Because
why we do this?
Why we do this? I'll tell you why we do this. One, I really enjoy her music.
Yeah.
Two, it's geeky and it's Zelda, and she's a very talented violinist.
She is. She is. I'll be honest. I know her more as a commentator from the React channel and the Fine Brothers stuff. I haven't listened to a ton of her music, but I like that track quite a bit.
Yeah, she came to Columbus a couple years ago.
I remember that. Yeah, I do remember that. Yeah. I think she's popped up over at the Nerdy Nummies YouTube channel, which is a guilty pleasure YouTube channel that I watch.
Yeah.
Yeah. The geeky food stuff.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah, like the baking show. It's like, what's her name? Julia Child. But,
oh, yeah.
But like geek-themed snacks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of YouTube, let's get into a little bit of news. Our first one is more tech news than anything, which is kind of rare for us, I would say. YouTube has been slowly rolling out their YouTube TV service. It is a live TV service that you can put on your phone, and I would imagine like Roku and TV box, streaming box.
Yeah, type probably thing. Most things that support a YouTube app.
Yes. And here within the last, I would say, week or so, it has become widely available in the Central Ohio area.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really cool. It's an interesting alternative to standard cable.
Yep. More cord cutting options.
Mm-hmm. It's $35 a month. This isn't an ad, by the way.
Yeah.
We're not getting paid or anything for this. But it's just something worth noting. If you've been missing your like live TV, one of the things that it does, which I think is really cool, is it has unlimited storage for
DVR.
Yeah. Thank you. So you could set it to record certain shows at certain times.
Yeah. Hey, let's do a list of channels here.
Yeah, let's do the channels. We actually looked this up like right before recording because I wanted to get an actual list of what is available.
It's a pretty decent list.
It's a decent list, yeah. We have Fox Sports Ohio and Fox Sports Ohio Plus, which is good. ABC6, Channel 10, and 28.
Yep.
All so we hear live stream, so you'll actually be able, you could actually watch local news,
mm-hmm.
which is probably the most old man thing I think I've ever said, but I've being without cable for the last couple of years, I have missed kind of being in the know in local news and weather and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of miss being able to sit down and watch the news.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think it's something we take for granted when we're growing up. It's like, oh man, news, so boring. But now we're adults.
Yeah, yeah, right.
And now we have to care.
Yeah. See, there's NBC, but not live, so I don't think you're going to get your nightly news from mm-hmm. there.
Yeah.
But there are other options. ESPN, CW, but no live. FS, Fox Sport, FS1, what is that? Let me look that up. FS1, whatever that is. Cool, all right. USA, FX, Freeform, NBC, SN. Not a clue.
Nope.
Nope. Nothing. ESPN2, ESPNU, FS2, Disney Channel.
E,
Bravo, Oxygen. That's Big Ten. Big Ten Network.
Yep.
So you can watch your OSU games
yep.
when they're not locked out from.
Well, that's areas. Also on ESPNU, too. Because yeah. that's also university sports.
Yeah. SEC Network, ESPN News, Universo, which is the
Hispanic.
Hispanic NBC
yep.
channel. CBS Sports, FXX.
So you can watch Archer.
Yeah, your tennis channel. Oh, boy. Let's watch some tennis.
Hey, what time does Sean Connery get to Wimbledon? Tennis.
That's it. Yeah, that's the joke. Yeah. The Sci-Fi Channel, Disney Junior, Disney XD, which is good.
If yes.
you want to watch your...
DuckTales
and stuff like
Star
that.
Star Wars, all the good stuff. By the way, can I just say I've hated the Sci-Fi logo ever since they changed it.
Oh, like, Sci-Fi? Oh,
yeah, away from the Saturn with the Sci-Fi logo.
Yeah, I've hated it since they've changed it from S-C-I-F-I
to Sci-
S-Y-F-Y. It's stupid.
Yep.
It's very dumb.
That has been an anger-inducing thing for me for years now.
Yeah, yep. Anyway, let's keep going here.
Fox News?
MSNBC, Fox News, ABC, CNBC.
Is that ABC or AMC?
That's AMC. I said AMC.
Yep. You said ABC.
I did?
Yep.
Well, AMC. That's
so it means you get your Walking Deads.
Yeah, well. Fox Business, National Geographic, FX Movies, Sprout. So if you have kids, that's cool.
Mm-hmm. There's just a really great spread of stuff here.
There is. There's not a whole bunch here, so I'm just going to roll through the rest. Olympic Channel, IFC, so you can watch Portlandia.
Yep, which is the independent film channel.
Yep, that's right. Nat Geo Wild, Sundance TV, Chiller, which is a really cool B horror movie channel.
Kind of just horror movies in general, really.
Yeah.
Not necessarily just B.
Yeah, true. Oh, I'm thinking of Meteor.
Yeah, Meteor's the B movie.
I wish that was on here.
Chiller's more like... Kind of like your generic horror stuff that you see like all the time.
Yeah, I would watch the hell out of some Meteor if that was on here. That would be great. The Golf Channel, YouTube Red Originals, which is interesting because YouTube Red is their other pay-for
service,
and that's $10 a month for like exclusive
shows that are only on that.
So you can pay $35 and get you're basically paying $25 plus YouTube Red,
mm-hmm.
essentially.
Yeah.
WeTV, BBC America, so your Doctor Who's.
Mm-hmm. Or Orphan Black.
Or yeah, that too. BBC World News, Newsy, and Telemundo, but not live. But that's okay.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good spread.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of good stuff. Like, you're just, if you're like a big, say you're a big, like, TV aficionado, you're getting most of the big channels to catch, you know, the really popular shows.
Yeah.
You're getting, if you're a sports fan, that's a huge spread of sports channels.
It's a good spread of sports channels. Well, that's really good. Do you think that this is, another nail in the coffin of like DirecTV or like
Spectrum
cable or
I mean,
like
it
that?
Could be.
Yeah.
I mean, if they had Turner stuff on there, like Cartoon Network, that probably would have done it for me.
Yeah. Yeah,
because that's the other channel I watch a lot of.
We see a lot of that is over on the other
the other end of the thing.
Other end of the thing, because I think DirecTV has DirecTV Now, which is a very similar service, but I don't think they have the live news.
Yeah.
That this does. Yeah, and that really more than anything is the draw for me.
Yeah, like I said, just about everything else you can catch.
Yeah,
I mean, you got all the Disney stuff on there. You got all the kids stuff. Like I said, you don't have like the Nickelodeons.
Don't have Nickelodeon, don't have Cartoon Network. That's kind of rough. I bet down the line they will.
Yeah, I would imagine it. If this does well enough.
As this picks up steam and rolls out in other markets, sure.
I mean, it's definitely worth getting, especially if you're a cord cutter or you've just been without TV, like cable television for a while.
And we should mention the stations that we mentioned are very specific to like
the Columbus
area.
Like,
yeah, we punched in Marion zip code and that is what you would get in our area. If you're listening to us from outside of the Marion area, it might be a little different.
Yeah, your selection might be different.
Yeah, but it's all kind of the same sort of thing.
Yeah.
Also, I think Showtime is an add-on. You can pay a little extra for Showtime.
Which is something else you can do with Hulu too.
Yeah, you can do that.
So, I mean, there are definitely options out there.
There are. This is, again, after not having live TV for the last couple of years, this might be an option for me. Mm-hmm. I kind of dig it. And $35, while it's definitely more expensive than most streaming services like Netflix and Hulu and things like that, it's very tempting.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's not outrageous.
No, it's not. Especially compared to, like, my cable bill. Yeah. So, like, you know.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah. I don't know how many people are going to make the jump from having cable to not with this service, but I bet a lot of people who already don't have cable will be very interested in something like this.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely a supplement.
Yeah.
Especially, like, say you've only been running with, like, internet for a long time.
Yeah.
Boom.
Exactly. Yeah, that's it. So anyway, yeah, YouTube Red TV. Not an ad, but seems like a pretty okay idea.
Oh, yeah. It definitely seems like a good service.
Yes, yes. So, yeah, speaking of shows that are on streaming services, there are some photographs that have popped up online for the Luke Cage Season 2 series.
Mm-hmm.
Featuring the character Misty Knight and her bionic arm, which is pretty cool. It's a thing that I didn't think was going to actually pop up in these.
Yeah, I mean,
it's one of the more fantastic elements, The Defenders, the Netflix series have all been kind of more grounded.
A little, yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah, you know, there's magic, a little bit of magic.
And a little bit of superpowers, but for the most part, they've been very kind of down-to-earth kind of
Which
things.
Is funny, because of the fact that, you know, the Netflix series are all connected to the greater MCU.
In theory.
No, it's not a theory. It's in Daredevil, they mention the Avengers.
They mention it, but it's not like...
The events of the Avengers.
Yeah. It's not like these characters are ever going to pop up in any of the movies ever.
No. But, you know, they're there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that was one thing, like, I always wondered, like, when Misty Knight popped up in Luke Cage Season 1, I was like, oh, man, she doesn't have a robo arm.
Yeah. Well, I guess now she does. I'll be honest, I haven't watched all of the Defenders, but I guess at one point she gets her arm cut off by a hand ninja.
Which I'm so glad they brought in the hand.
Ah, me too.
That's some of the best stuff in Daredevil.
Daredevil Season 1, yeah. But no, it's cool. It's like I said, it's interesting that they're bringing in some of the more fantastic elements and they're kind of sticking truer to the comic book roots.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Because they could have very easily not...
Done that.
Yeah. It would have been super easy for them to just say, no, she's just a cop.
Yeah, and which fine. in Luke Cage is pretty much what she was.
And I don't think anyone would have been upset with them just saying, nah, she's just a really cool, awesome cop. But now she's this cool, awesome cop with a robot arm. Okay. Awesome. I dig it.
Checking the box.
Yeah.
And Luke Cage is good.
Yes.
Especially that soundtrack.
That is, yes. And no kidding, right?
I mean, too bad Iron Fist was kind of
Iron Fist and Daredevil Season 2, the non-Punisher parts were kind of the weakest of the bunch.
Yeah. I'm a little concerned for the Punisher series. Like, I liked the Punisher in Daredevil Season 2. I'm not sure how well he's going to carry an entire series by himself.
Like the Hulk, the Punisher works best when he is a supporting character.
Yes. And I completely agree with that.
Yeah.
Punisher fans, come fight me.
Maybe not, but I'm good. But, no, the Punisher works best when he's working off of other characters and he just kind of pops up in the background every now and then.
Other than that, you just have Angry Gun Guy.
Yeah, and there's a million movies and TV shows about Angry Gunman, so what's the point?
I know.
Yeah.
But hey, he was popular enough, so they're going to give it a shot.
Sure, yeah, why not?
I mean, they all can't be golden apples, I guess.
Yeah, and I'm glad Marvel is getting kind of the stinkers out of the way on their Netflix series instead of their movies.
Mm, yeah.
Freely admitting that some of the movies are weaker than others.
Oh, I meant that too.
But for the most part, they're all pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
So
even the weaker ones are good.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
So, just not great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of not great superhero movies, a while back, we ran a news brief about how they were going to spin off the Harley Quinn character into her own film. And there was a lot of talk that it was going to be a Gotham City Sirens movie, and we were all very excited. Gotham City Sirens was a comic that came out, what was it, about 5 years ago, would you say?
Oh, it's even older than that.
Older than that? See, here's the thing. Weird.
The Sirens have come in and out as far as DC comic continuity goes.
The whole thing is it's a three-woman team of Catwoman, Poison Ivy, and Harley Quinn basically being awesome lady vigilantes.
Or sometimes...
Sometimes heroes, sometimes villains.
Well, also sometimes Poison Ivy, Catwoman, and Huntress.
Sometimes.
Really depends. Either way, it's three DC female characters, typically either anti-hero, villainy, or hero characters.
Yeah, being badass and just being awesome. And I would have loved to see a movie, a live action.
Also, sometimes they go by Birds of Prey.
Birds of Prey are like the hero versions, kind of.
Sometimes members come in and out.
Yeah. Anyway, point being, a movie of that concept would have been excellent because. Margot Robbie was probably one of the best.
She was great.
She was one of the best parts of Suicide Squad, which admittedly was not very good.
No.
But she was a standout. She did a very good job as Harley Quinn. And I think she would have done even better if she wasn't attached to the Joker. Which leads us to our news point. They have scrapped the Gotham City Sirens in favor of a Joker origin movie guest starring Harley Quinn with Jared Leto. And boy, oh boy, there are two things I don't want. More Jared Leto Joker and the origins of the Joker.
Which origin?
Pick the worst one. That's the one they'll go with.
Even in the comics, the Joker makes a point that he doesn't even know his own origin.
The Joker doesn't need an origin.
Exactly.
He doesn't. They've tried. They have tried multiple times. There's the Red Hood origin. There's the theory in Dark Knight that the Joker was a soldier from Afghanistan that was scarred up and had, like, was anti, you know, very jaded because of the... God, I lost the train on that thought. Oh, well, whatever. There are a lot of different theories of the Joker's...
The Red Hood one being the most canonically accepted.
Yeah, but that's not the one they'll go with on the film because it's goofy.
Yeah. I'm so angry right now, actually.
Yeah, it's not going to be good. I don't want more Jared Leto Joker. I don't want it.
Jared Leto was one of the worst parts of that movie.
Oh, yeah.
And 90% of the internet agrees.
Yeah, but he signed a contract. He has to be in X amount of movies.
I don't care. He's an awful-looking Joker. He was an awful-acting Joker.
Yeah, even if they...
Took away all the tattoos
and made him look like the Joker, he...
Still be a garbage Joker.
It was not good.
He is the weakest Joker of them all.
Yeah.
All of them.
Yeah, I agree, but what are you going to do?
I mean, I understand not everybody can be Mark Hamill, but...
Yeah, I don't know. It's a shame that we could have had a chance to have a film led by strong female characters, much like Wonder Woman, set in the DC universe, and really just knock it out of the park. Because, again... Margot Robbie was a great Harley Quinn. They could have found a really good Catwoman, a really good Poison Ivy. Could have been an excellent movie, and instead we had to roll back to this. Hell, I would have taken another Suicide Squad movie over Joker Origins featuring Harley.
Yeah, it's stupid. I mean, Harley is a good enough character. You don't need to constantly attach her to the Joker.
Despite the Joker being integral to her
origin
and having the two characters attached at the hip for so long... based out of the Batman the Animated Series.
Yes.
I think these days she works best as a character who has realized that she was in an abusive relationship with a psychopath and is broken away from it and started doing her own thing. The Amanda Conner, Jimmy Palmiotti ongoing series that DC's been putting
out. Which is great.
Has been excellent. And it's been dealing with a lot of those themes. And it's super, super good. And it just kills me that the mainstream interpretation of the character that we're getting is,
I need my pudding.
Yeah, that's...
I hate that so much. It makes me angry. It's such a strong step up from the Wonder Woman movie, this is a slap in the face and a huge step backwards.
It shows that Warner Brothers and DC don't know what they're doing. They're just flying...
Yeah.
They're just flying
so
blind.
So it's like Wonder Woman got good by default, or by accident.
Yeah, it's seeming to be...
Well, I don't want to say by accident, because Gal Gadot was amazing, the directing was awesome, the story was pretty good for 90% of the film.
The fact that Warner Brothers had cast the film the way they did, and found the director that they did, and had the script that they did, that was the accident.
Yes.
Everything else was great, everything else was on purpose and super great, and I don't want to take away from that.
No.
But the fact that Warner Brothers... just happened to have that kind of confluence of things pop up was totally a fluke. We could be wrong. Justice League is going to be coming out here in a couple months.
November,
yeah, a couple months. That could be good.
The more previews I see for Justice League, I get a little more excited.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I still think Cyborg looks like crap.
Well, yeah.
God, he looks so bad.
It's rough.
Really bad CG. I really hope they clean that up because it just looks out of place.
Yeah, he looks like a cartoon character.
It looks more so
than the others.
It looks more out of place than the Flash's stupid armor.
Mm-hmm. But
I'm actually kind of excited for Aquabro.
Oh yeah, Aquaman's going to be the best part of that movie. I bet.
I think Aquaman and Wonder Woman are probably going to be the real big standouts.
Oh yeah,
I really hope so.
I agree. Let's see. Do we want to talk about more superhero movie news?
Yeah,
there was so they're doing a Hellboy reboot movie,
which is fine. I really love the character.
Yeah, it's cool. It's a shame that none of the original actors are going to be back for it because Ron Perlman was an excellent Hellboy. But
I love Ron Perlman.
I understand they're going to go in a different direction. They're going to just kind of reboot the line and just start it fresh. There was an actor. Let me look up the name of the actor. Josh, you vamp while I'm looking up.
I'll tell you, I think it's going to be a bit of a shame because they're not going to have, like, the art direction of, like, Del Toro's personal touch, which really lends itself to that universe, I think.
Yeah.
Like, with, you know, because I love the Hellboy comics, and I love Mike Mignola's, like, you know, art.
Yeah, and he's like, going to be, like, on set for this. Like,
I am excited for that.
Yeah, and that's cool. Anyway, here, I found the names and stuff. There is a character named Ben Damiyo. I think that's how you say it. Damiyo?
Damiyo?
Yeah.
Like a Japanese warlord thing?
D-A-I-M-I-O.
Damiyo? Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, it's a character from Hellboy. He's Asian American.
Yes.
And he's going to be featured in the new Hellboy movie. And he was cast recently. Actor Ed Skrein was going to be the character.
Yeah.
He is a white British guy.
Mm-hmm.
And there was starting to be rumblings of, oh no, they're whitewashing characters again, like the Ghost in the Shell and like every other movie. And Skrein did something that was a little unexpected. He actually, once he discovered that the character was originally Asian American, he backed out of the project. He was like, no, I don't want to be part of this. You know, it's not right. Find an actor to fill the role that is right for the role. Don't just put me in because, you know.
He's popular and, you know. I mean, he's a good actor. And
is he? I don't know what he's from.
I've seen a few things where he's kind of popped up. I don't think I've ever seen anything he was like really stood out in. But I've seen things he's been a part of and he's okay. But yeah, it's really surprising. Like a lot of actors probably wouldn't have done that.
Mm-hmm.
They would have just, you know, rode the line and collected their
got their paycheck and moved on. But no, this is kind of good.
Yeah, I think it's a Hollywood culture step in the right direction.
I'm a little more cynical. I think that he doesn't want to be
the bad press.
He doesn't want the bad press, and if he has to take a hit on this and save a little face in order to get into another,
I mean, and you
role
could be
pretty quick,
and you could be completely correct. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Either way, it's a step in the right direction.
Yeah.
Because there are enough actors these days, if the role calls for a certain ethnicity,
it could be done. I mean, this isn't the 1940s and 50s where all the actors are white people.
Yeah. You can go to Hollywood, throw a rock, and you can find the right, you know, race, the right background to fill the roles for your film. Especially when it comes to adaptations of previously established, you know, franchises. So, I don't know.
It's interesting.
I'll
say that. It's culturally interesting.
Yeah, it is.
Okay. I mean, I don't want to, like, you know, give it sway, but at least Ghost in the Shell explained it a little bit.
Yeah.
It's still not great.
Yeah.
I'm not giving them props, but at least it's explained in the film.
Well, that's good at least, but they could have...
Yeah, exactly. Anyway.
They could have done better, is what I'm saying.
They could have done better.
They could have done better. And this is a slight step in the right direction of people doing better. And that makes me feel all right.
Yeah.
I'm okay with it.
All right.
All right. Got some game stuff. Do you want to talk about some game stuff?
Yeah, let's talk about some game stuff.
Okay.
Fill that Cody role.
Yeah, right. Super Nintendo Classic. Did you get one?
Yes.
I did not.
Well, I got one pre-order. I haven't gotten it.
Yeah. But you got the pre-order, so you, yeah. You,
hopefully I
lucky,
get one.
Lucky dog.
Hopefully I get one.
Yeah, because they've been canceling them, haven't they?
Well, it depends. A while back, a few months ago, Walmart was taking pre-orders on them.
For one night, and then...
Had to immediately resend that.
Yeah.
This was the first actual official mass pre-order of the NAS class. And by the way, Nintendo, I love you.
They're doing a bad...
What are you doing? You're doing it again.
They're doing a bad job.
They are.
They're doing a bad job. It's just...
Between Switches and Amiibos and everything... Mm-hmm. If it's not on the 3DS, you can't find it.
Yeah. Yeah, they did a bad. And I understand, from what I understand, the NES Classic and the Super Nintendo Classic, they're loss leaders. They're breaking, between licensing of the third-party games and the cost of parts, they're breaking even on these. Like, they're selling them basically at cost, for the most part.
And, yes.
They're using it as a means for people to be talking about Nintendo for... their other releases. They did that with the NES. They released that about a month before the Switch. It got people talking about the Switch. And I imagine there is at least a small percentage of people that picked up the Switch or got interested in the Switch or became aware of the Switch based on talk drummed up from the NES Classic. They're doing the same thing right before the Christmas season with Super Mario Odyssey.
Yes.
Excuse me. Yeah, I truly believe that that's what this is. But it doesn't mean that they can't just produce more. If they're not losing any money,
yeah,
print, make more of them.
Yeah, it will print money. People want them.
Yes.
People still want the NES Classic.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that you can get the same experience out of Raspberry Pis and emulators and things like
that's
that.
What I'm probably going to do.
Yes. But, you know, part of me is like, I really want it.
Yeah.
I mean, I do want it. Especially since I'm getting Star Fox 2.
Yeah.
This is the first actual official release of that game ever.
Yeah. Although it's going to end up online in like 10 seconds after. So as soon as someone buys one, cracks it open, and gets the ROM out of it.
I understand that.
Yeah.
But Nintendo, after the huge spit in the face that the NES Classic was with allocations and everything, Nintendo said, we're sorry. We'll do better in the future. Well, guess what?
They're not doing better in the future. And okay, this isn't Nintendo's thing, and we're getting close to wrapping up, but I just got to say this. Companies like Best Buy and GameStop that put up their pre-orders and immediately shut them down, but then opened up pre-orders where you have to bundle it with like three or four of their back stock, like stupid statues or garbage like that for like $300, that's wrong and bad, and I hate it.
Oh, yeah. They were doing the same thing, like, I think either GameStop or it's GameStop, was doing it with the Switches.
Yeah, it's because they have their ThinkGeek, and ThinkGeek has a bunch of back stock that they want to get rid of, and they know that people are going to pay out the nose for these Switches. That's why in the hell would I need a bust of Mega Man's helmet? I mean, it's kind of cool, but I don't need it, and I don't want to have to spend $300 to get something I super don't want and don't need to get... Also, $60 or $80
peripheral. Yes.
Peripheral. Yeah. It's stupid. It's dumb. I hate it.
It is stupid and it is dumb. And I'm really disappointed in a lot of the culture when it comes to these limited allocation things.
Mm-hmm.
It's awful.
Yeah.
I don't understand why we can't just meet the demand.
Yeah. It's unless Nintendo is taking such a huge hit producing these things, I can't see them doing that.
No. It's literally going to print money.
Just make more of them.
It's literally going to print money.
Yeah.
You're putting an emulator inside a case that looks like a small Nintendo.
Everyone's going to want it. Everyone does want it.
Yes, everyone does want it. Everyone still wants it.
So, yeah.
It's...
I don't know. You're just a lucky dog for getting one. I'm not going to get one. I will never see one of them in real life.
Yes, you will.
In a store. Well, I'll come over to your house and
we'll play it.
We'll hang out and play it, but I will never see one like in a store somewhere. They're always going to be sold out.
No, guaranteed. and it's a shame.
Yeah.
Especially after they killed the NES Classic so quick after it came out.
That
there was like two or three waves and then Nintendo's like, we're not making any more.
We're done. Yeah.
It's done.
And yeah, if you want to go online, they're still available. You can go online and get them for like $600 off eBay. Scalpers.
Yeah. And that's garbage too.
Yeah. I did like how a lot of the pre-order, the companies have been like limiting like the pre-orders to like one or two. I think one has been like the standard.
Well,
and that's good. It's kind of cutting down on scalpers a little bit. And that's good. Because the NES Classic, I think people were like pre-ordering like five at a time.
Yeah.
And
which is bull.
That is awful too. Anyway, let's go ahead and wrap things up. You've been listening to Nerd Overload. Thank you very much for tuning in. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com.
You can also find us all the time and get all of us all the likes and the thumbs up on Facebook at facebook.com/nerdoverloadradio.
We are on Twitter at nerd_overload. You can email us staff@nerdoverload.com. iTunes and Stitcher, you can listen to the show over there and you can find all of our backlog episodes.
You can also find us on YouTube at Nerd Overload TV.
That's right.
And you can also tune into our Twitch channel, Nerd Overload Live.
There's got to be an easier way for us to say all this stuff.
I know, right?
Every week I think there's got to be an easier way for us to say all this stuff. But anyway, thank you very much for tuning in. We will be back next week.
Happy Labor Day.
Pizza out.
I was going to say pizza out. You stepped on my toes.
Ah, I got it.